Yo, 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 what's going on, everybody? It's your boy Alex, and we're back for another episode of The Winning State of Mind, and you already know what we get into here is transformative. I like that word. That's a very good word for describing this whole platform, because we're not just here to talk and have fun. I mean, that's a big part of it, but it's deeper than that. And if you ain't realized by now, while we're at episode 38, I don't really know what you've been doing this whole time. So you better get your head on straight. And you better realize why you came here in the first place. Because I already touched base on why the why is so important. But today we're not here to focus on the why. We're here to focus on extreme ownership. And this is a book that I just bought. In fact, my new employer, he told me he would have a list of books for me to read, and this was one of the books that he recommended for me. And so, of course, diligently I bought it. He said he wants me to read this one first, so that's why I got that one first. And it's a book written by two Navy SEALs named Jocko Willink and Leif Babin, and it's about how U.S. Navy SEALs lead and win. A number one New York Times bestseller. I feel like there's so many New York Times bestsellers, but that's besides the point. I got the newer edition because it came with a new foreword and Q&A section. Wow. And it has more than 500,000 copies sold. And pretty much, I was just reading the foreword, but I'm going to get to the meat of this episode in just a bit. So, the gist of extreme ownership is owning every single part of any situation. And pretty much they summarize in the Thus Jacket that the greatest leaders that both of them have experienced or seen on the battlefield didn't just own to the good, they owned to the bad. And they didn't just own to what was directly a result of their action, they owned to anything. If there was a buck private that messed up, they owned up to that, because maybe it was their fault they didn't explain well enough, or not even maybe, it was their fault. They're not doing their job right if they're supposed to be leading them to victory and people are failing. I mean, that's a simple concept to grasp, right? If your job is to lead someone to success and the person you are leading is failing, then it's only right that you would say that you're failing as well. The objective of any great leader is to make sure that his team can trust him 100%, or her. We have women leaders out here too. The leader must be trusted by every single person following them, or else they're not leading effectively. And so just from that alone, it got me thinking, how many times when I was just indulging myself in leadership videos and other things did this come up, where the idea of taking complete responsibility for something really make a huge difference? And it was because I heard this one quote by Curtis King. I believe it was him. It definitely was him. And he was in a video and he said, "Where you are today is a product of how you were thinking last year." And that just really blew my mind. It really opened my mind to the realm of possibility that, hey, maybe this is my fault that I'm not $10,000 richer, or that I'm still carless. Because, maybe there's a chance that I didn't put the work in. Maybe there's a chance that I'm doing something wrong. Just a little glimmer of possibility that maybe I wasn't working to my 100% potential, my fullest ability. No way, that's probably not it. Yep, that's where excuses come in. And excuses were never highlighted to me in that light and in such an intense light until I really thought about, wow, I am responsible for every single thing I do. Every single thing. Doesn't matter if I just get a job and it's my first day on the job and I screw something up. It's still my fault. We live in a society where, okay, so it's your first day on a job, you screwed up. Yeah, don't worry about it. No. Instead of just going along like, yeah, you know, this is my first job, you're supposed to fail, you're supposed to mess up. How about you don't prepare for failure? How about you prepare for success and you reach and strive and you bite and you claw and you gnaw as hard as you can and as viciously as you can to make sure that first day, your percentage of failing is only 1%, 2%. Because you're giving it your all. And you're being fully aware and fully cognizant and fully present in the moment. Excuses play such a major role in the daily life of the majority. And I've been there too. I've been there making excuses for even some of the dumbest things. It can even be me showing up late to a place. Oh, wow, I make an excuse. Yeah, well, try and blame someone else. Or, I remember always showing up late in high school to my first class. And I'd be like, yeah, my dad was making bacon, which he was making bacon. But I'd always be like, yeah, I'm driving with him. So that's why I'm coming home. That's why I'm coming to school late. But in reality, it was a mixture of both of us. I wasn't just completely scot-free. I was just his fault. And sometimes he'd be ready on time and I'd be the one that was late. But I just didn't care. And that's the thing. I didn't have a concept of extreme ownership. You gotta think. Discipline is not a tool meant for punishment. Discipline is a tool meant for training. And I just heard that from Terry Crews today when I was watching his YouTube videos. Discipline is a tool for training. And when you have self-discipline, that means you're training yourself to act a certain way and be a certain way. Self-discipline doesn't come without extreme ownership. It just doesn't. And I know, owning things is hard. Actually believing that you can be the reason something failed, crashed and burned, set aflame, and withered away. Yeah, nobody wants to feel that. No one wants to believe that. No one wants to be the reason why the Jenga tower falls when you pull the piece out. But hey, sometimes you are. And the only thing that you can do is own it. And I haven't even gotten into the bulk of this book. I've only read the foreword. And they have so many testimonies filled already of companies that were on the brink of getting cut from their main business because they're a division of the business, now turning around and becoming the top division in that business because they decided to have extreme ownership. People meeting deadlines they thought they wouldn't make. People hitting numbers they thought they wouldn't make. Because they decided to own it and stop making excuses. Think about something that's near and dear to you. Think about something that you're so passionate about that you've experienced screwing up with. Me and I make beats. I'm making pretty good beats right now, and I'm really impressed at how far I've come within this pretty much 6-month time span. And I feel like there's just such a mountain for me to climb, but I'm loving it, right? I still make beats sometimes where they're not the mix, they're not mixed the best, or some of the effects aren't that great. It's because I haven't figured it out yet. I'm not making an excuse. Oh, this is so hard. Oh, this, it's the bass sample that I'm using. I just got some trash samples. No. I haven't done what needs to be done to correct it. And when you take ownership, this is what separates the successful from the failures. This is what separates the rich from the poor, the wealthy from the poor. Make a solution, okay? You can't just identify it. Extreme ownership is a three-step process. I don't know if it says it in the book. Like I said, I just got in the foreword, but I made my own three-step process of extreme ownership. First, you become aware, self-aware, and realize, oh my God, this is my fault, all right? Congratulations, you now took ownership for something. Second, don't just take ownership and then keep it going. Don't just, okay, I spilled the milk, now let me walk away from it. No, clean it up. Figure out a solution to the problem and execute it. And lastly, after you have that done, continue to have that mindset. Retain and prevent that mistake from happening again. There's past, present, future. You see what I mean? The past is, wow, I made that mistake. The present is, I'm owning that mistake. The future is, I'm preventing that mistake. It's so simple, y'all. It's so simple. But as I see so many times in so many different places, so many successful people always say, it's simple, but it's not easy. And that's what deters people from making the necessary changes. Because so many people want things in life to come easy. They don't want to put the work in. They might call you crazy. They might try and cut you down. They'll try and impose and spread their negativity on your life and eat away at your light, eat away at your happiness, eat away at your ambition, eat away at your drive, your motivation. Because they don't understand how hard you're working. They don't understand why you're working hard. Why you're working smart. The goal should be to work smart and not work hard. Working hard gets you places, but working smart will get you further. Further than any level that working hard can get you. It's all about increasing your knowledge, increasing your intelligence, your intellect, and just building those blocks up. And this is something I'm going to touch on in a later episode. I don't want to give away too much, but one piece at a time, man. I've read a quote that said, how do you eat an elephant? You start at one piece at a time. That's it. That's all it takes. The problem is we see these things and we paint them into huge mountains. We turn them into Mount Everest, Mount Kilimanjaro, when really we haven't even stepped foot on the trail yet. We should be taking it a step at a time. In order to get the, like you said, it's all about the action. It's funny too, because when I go to this place, it's a warehouse in Newville for my job, which is soon to be my old job, DHL. It's a supply chain warehouse. They have a quote on one of their walls by Vince Lombardi. And it says, the man at the top of the mountain did not fall up there. So simple yet so complex. The man at the top of the mountain did not fall up there. I might have put the up in there. I might have paraphrased that. But the man at the top of the mountain did not fall there. He took it one step at a time, one foot at a time, and that's it. People hike mountains. I just saw a video where now you can be a professional hiker, a professional mountain climber. I didn't know that was a thing. Who's paying? That's what I want to know. And the guy was an amputee, which is really unfortunate. He was a war veteran, and he got blown up, I want to say by a landmine, but he's out here being a professional adventurer. Missing a leg. And how many people, how many of y'all can be professional anything or even aspire to be professional anything? How many people walk around here and can say they're professional whatevers? That guy has more drive. If you can't even see yourself becoming something like that. I'm really convinced that you can become whatever you want to be. I know for a fact that you can become what you want to be. Anything is possible. And we are the creators, we are the doers of this world, man. But the first step of getting greatness and pursuing excellency is taking ownership. And taking ownership doesn't have to be in just your faults, just your mistakes. Taking ownership can also be not playing yourself and realizing that you're not perfect. The only true wisdom is in knowing you know nothing. That's a quote by Socrates. And a quote by Aristotle says, "We are what we repeatedly do. Excellence then is not an act, but a habit." So let's break these down. The only true wisdom is in knowing you know nothing. Own that. Own that on the grand scheme of things. I don't care if you took calculus 7 and you took physics to build rocket ships and you've been learning so much and doing all this and you read 20 books a day. You still really know nothing. And Socrates isn't saying you don't know a thing at all, because you could be more knowledgeable, definitely, than a person that doesn't read books at all and doesn't apply themselves. But there's still so much to be learned. There's languages to be learned. There's sports. There's skills to be learned. There's trades to be learned. There's cultures to be learned. Algorithms. Calculations. So many things to be learned. I don't know if it's possible to learn at all. But that's the beauty of it, is that there's always a pursuit. There's always something else that you can be learning, something you can be doing, something you can be growing in and evolving. And own the fact that what you repeatedly do is a product of who you are. Excellency is a habit. A perfect example is Harry Houdini. Harry Houdini made all his escapes look easy. And just magicians in general, right? Anybody who uses magic and does magic tricks, they make it look so easy. But we didn't see the time that they put in perfecting it so that it was flawless every single time. You can search up on YouTube right now any magic trick video where people, the ones I really love is when they make money appear out of nothing, or they turn like a $5 bill into like a $100 bill. I'm just trying to wrap my head around that, because they do it so well and they're so excellent that it's hard for me to understand it. But there was a point where it was hard for them to grasp that idea too. And if it wasn't hard for them, they understood it on the first try. Guess what? Now they had to keep practicing it and embedding it until it became a habit, until it became consistent. And if they made a mistake or they messed up, they owned it. They didn't mess up a card trick and say, "Wow, these cards are broken. These cards are defective." No. You're the one that messed it up. Okay, now I did that. What should I do now? How do I prevent me from messing up again? All right, I'm going to do this. Okay. Did that solution work? Yes. Okay. Now proceed on in the future. It's simple as that, y'all. It really is. And like I said, all I've been doing is just reflecting in all the mistakes that I've made and everything, and just owning everything and owning everything. And it's really made a leap of difference for me and of leadership and maturity. I've been able to take that leap and grow. Perfect example. I left my keys in the car. First time I ever did that. When I got out to go to Planet Fitness one day, locked my keys in the car. And I had nobody to blame but myself. That I was stuck outside this car. And of course, I'm in a habit where every time I get out, I lock all the doors from the inside. I just use like the tab. Because to me, it's easier than using my fob. And if I'm getting out the car, it just makes more logical sense for me to just lock it right there instead of waiting for me to use my keys, or me forgetting or then walking away and using my keys. Like, I know people that do that. My dad will walk away and then use his keys. But, and so I said, okay, now I'm locked outside. How am I going to fix this? And by the grace of God, my dad was off work, so he was able to come use his key to unlock the car. But I said, okay. The habit that I had was that when I took the key out the ignition, I would throw it in the passenger seat because I would be replying to a text or something, or whatever it may be. My instinct would just be to drop my keys in the passenger seat. Okay, I'm aware of that. Now what am I going to do? All right, now every time I get out, I'm going to take the key out the ignition, hold it in my right hand, and continue to hold it. That's it. One small change to my lifestyle. And guess what? I haven't put myself at risk to lock the keys in the car anymore since then. Because when I get out the car, I know for a fact those keys are in my hand because I've trained myself to do that. I've trained myself to not put my keys in the passenger seat anymore. And now I don't even have to think about it because it's embedded in my DNA. That's all it is, man. The minor tweaks that become major differences. Go ahead, you can quote that. It's the minor tweaks that become major differences. You ever mess with the sound on a speaker system, or the gain, for my people that play instruments, the gain on an amplifier? You have it turned up and you make a small tweak, and that just makes it a whole world louder right there because you made that small tweak, that small adjustment. Man, now it's too loud. Let me turn it back down. Okay, there we go. Another small tweak. Found the right spot. Don't overestimate the solution. Don't overestimate the methods that you need to take and give yourself a reason to make an excuse. We're done making excuses, y'all. And I strongly believe, shout out to my boy Juwan, I strongly believe, like my boy Juwan said, that we are in a season of ambition and of growth. And I feel it in the air too, y'all. Just like he texted me. This is the time. August is the month. We at the end of summer. It's time to buckle down and get serious. If you haven't gotten serious now, you get serious now. Because our most important currency that we have is in dollars. It's time. And time will wait for nobody. So make sure you're spending your time wisely. Please, please do me a favor. And I will say make sure, because that's extremely important. Just make sure, however you spend your time, to you, you're spending it wisely. And I hope that is in the best positive and possible way that you can. And in everything that you do,
take extreme ownership. Don't try and throw someone else under the bus. Don't try and blame someone else. Don't try and blame the manufacturers of a dog leash because your dog got go, you let go or something. Don't blame. It could be anything. But you know what I'm saying. Don't make an excuse when something was clearly your fault. Just accept it. Improve it and move on. That's it. Accept it, correct it, and move on. With that being said, we're at the end of this episode now, and that's just something I really wanted to talk about. And I really wanted to bring it in front of y'all because I feel like it's really important. And I feel like if y'all are still out here making excuses, you're selling yourself short and you're doing yourself a disservice. Because that's one of the most that's one of the most mature things you can do. Is take ownership in what you do. Own it. Don't be afraid. That's the thing. A lot of people are afraid to own failure or to be the reason why something went wrong. It's okay. Now you've been given a chance to fix it. So do just that. And continue chasing those dreams, man. Continue. Strive and prosper and long live. I wish y'all health and longevity. Many blessings to come. And please hit me up. If you want to talk, I'm loving the conversations that I've been having already about my podcast. It just gives me so much life. And that's half the reason I do it. So that I can discuss with y'all and really build that relationship with y'all. So that we can grow together. We can see perspectives, share it, change it. And become better versions of ourselves together. So don't be afraid to reach out. Don't be afraid to message me. If you want to be on my podcast, I'm always looking for new people. Shout out Grant Henry. I just had to shout you out, man. Shout out Grant Henry. Go check out Even Conversations with Grant Henry. He's balling over there. I need to catch up myself. But thank you so much for listening. And I'm going to see you on the next episode. I really want to let y'all in. But y'all gonna see what it is for the people that follow me on Instagram and everything. Y'all been seeing the promotion, so I'm just gonna say soon come. All right? Peace.